All right, if you want to turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, we are getting close to being done with Ephesians. I have a feeling that we're going to slow down a little bit as we dive into 5 and 6. But we're going to cover 14 different verses here tonight and just understanding our identity that we have in Christ and how that affects our daily walk, our every moment walk. And as we dive into this, we understood as of last week, we talked about how our input should affect our output, and we should have both. An input without output is useless, and an output without your input is baseless. And what do you mean by that? The more you know of God should affect your actions. When you don't know God, it will affect your actions, okay? It will be a base, sinful, worldly way of living whenever we do not know God. It's darkness. And we'll understand a little bit more as we dive into this tonight. I've entitled this message, Sweet Smells and Bright Lights. Sweet Smells and Bright Lights. And I thought about bringing some smelly things in here and just shining bright lights in your faces, but I figured some of you would struggle with that. How many of you struggle with, like, a lot of perfumes? Okay. All right, I figured that was probably something that we struggle with nowadays. Sometimes certain perfumes are a little bit overwhelming, aren't they? Sometimes certain odors are a little bit overwhelming. Like junior high. Have you ever been there? It's such a sweet-smelling aroma that tends to make you want to run. Run. But yet, sweet smells and bright lights. This is what the illustrations that are being used here tonight is actually in our interaction with God. We can be a sweet smell and we can be a bright light because of what God has done in our lives. So let's go ahead and jump into that first point of imitation smells sweet. Imitation smells sweet. Now, as you read verses 1 and 2, and I put my outline out of order, didn't I, Carlton? I see the next one, and that's a point. I forgot to input the verses. So, Carlton, you're just going to have to be involved tonight. I mix it up. That's why he gets paid the big bucks, all right? So, imitation smells sweet. So, let's read Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 through 2. It starts there, "Be ye therefore followers of God as your children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." So now you understand where I got the first part of that title, sweet smells. Okay, how does this come about? How is it a sweet smell for God, and I would dare say a sweet smell for others, because I would put the rest of my facial hair on the line, okay, since I'm in a betting mood lately, I guess, all right, that our interaction with God, and the more we become like God, the more others will enjoy being around us. Would you agree with that? How could they be mad at you for expressing the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. These are what people are searching for. For people that will suffer long when they're around. For people who enjoy peace and unity. For people who are kind and gentle and actually show love in a good way. And so we dive into this. It would be good, sweet-smelling for us to actually apply the first part of verse number 1, which is, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Now, what does that mean? When you dive a little bit deeper into that term there of be followers, it's not just a matter of following God in the sense of he's walking and we walk behind him. It's the matter of we actually imitate. That's when you go down to the Greek, it'll actually point out imitation. We are to imitate God. How so? As dear children. What do you mean by that? Well, even as you go into your family tends to resemble you. When you look at the Burgess, you can tell that they are one family, okay? They have similar characteristics, okay? And I even mentioned not too long ago back in the teen group that when I first got here, I was down in the kitchen and I started laughing and Michelle thought that my dad was in the building. Why? Because it sounded like my dad. When I make weird noises at my kids with, you know, mouth, okay? When I'm making all these weird noises and being absolutely weird, do you know where I got that from? It is not my mother. He's going to appreciate this. He's not here, so I can say these things, right? Yeah. It's a resemblance. As dear children, we are supposed to imitate the Father, and not just how we look to other individuals, but how we walk. Our steps should be in step with him. Have you ever walked with your spouse and you get off sync? Okay, you're walking down the sidewalk, and this is how it usually goes in my home, okay? All right, just as far as our family goes, and even the teenagers have seen this. Yesterday, Kian's always up ahead, way ahead, way ahead. Way too far ahead, okay? I don't know if it's just the red hair or what it is, but he's way up there. And then I'm usually right behind, okay? I'm either leading the pack or right behind Kian. That's just how it works. Keely is usually way back in the back. And I say, come on, pick up the step, pick up the step. We're trying to go somewhere. Now, if it was Pastor leading, he would be way up ahead and I'd be behind. And he'd say, hey, come on, pick up the step. What's the problem? My gait is not as long as pastors, and the same way with Keely in regards to me. And so it becomes, I have to end up slowing down, or she needs to pick up the pace, but you know me and my loving ways. Expect her to pick up the pace, right? When God walks, we need to be in sync with him. We need to imitate how he walks, I walk. How his character shines, I want to shine in the same manner. It's an imitation. How can you understand how to imitate God? We're going to go right back to one of the major themes of this book, this letter. Know God more. How do you know how to act? Know God more. We have to read his word. And I know, that's like the Sunday school application, right? It's every single lesson. It's coming every single time. And why is that? Because we still struggle with it, right? We still struggle to maintain a consistent reading of the guide, the life guide that God puts in front of us, and not just the reading aspect. Sometimes we get the reading down, but the actual listening is our problem. And then the applying can be a difficulty. And so as we know God more, know more of who he is, then we can imitate and follow him as dear children, as image bearers. When God created Adam and Eve, what did he say? Multiply. Why? Be fruitful. Multiply. Fill the earth. With what? Image bearers. Whose image are we reflecting? It is God's. And so when we come down to this, we need to understand imitation is important as we follow him. And also a part of this is that we walk in love. Walking in love, how? As Christ also hath loved us, That is the standard. That's the line that we hold on to or strive for, because oftentimes we can't hold that line. Do you agree with me on that? That is a hard line to hold, to be just like Christ in his love. And yet that's what he's asked us to do. When he washed the feet of his disciples, what did he say? Do as I do. They will know that you are my disciples if ye have love toward one another. Follow him in his love, in that service. And even as Christ had given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice, ultimately to God, for his purpose and his plan, for a sweet-smelling savor. What he did smelled good to God. And why is it used in that way? It's an illustration to get our mind running, to get our imagination going, in the sense of what Christ has done is a pleasing aroma. And God wants us to imitate that in the same way. So why an aroma? Because we understand what an aroma does to individuals. Okay? What does an aroma do? Well, have you been to Springfield lately in the shopping district? Have you noticed a certain aroma that's in Springfield? My family notices it every single time, and it has a significant impact on us. And you say, I have no idea what you're talking about. Well, go into the area of the mall and just walk outside. Just walk outside. Just in case you don't get it, try it again. Now, if you become extremely relaxed at the smell of what is going on, you will come to understand what I'm talking about. Oh, man, honey, isn't this a great day, right? Okay, now you get the picture of what's going on. Do you know what my family does whenever we smell that? Our faces grimace. We can't stand it. We want to run inside of a building to get the fresh processed air, because that's so much better than outside at that point. It is pungent. It makes you want to run away. Now let's go to the opposite side of it. What happens, guys, when you open up the door as you get home and you smell the fresh aroma of chocolate chip cookies? Right? You can smell the melting chocolate. Now you're all getting hungry, aren't you? And we have a business meeting after that. Well done, Taylor. Okay. What do you want to do? Run? Now, some of you are like, I'm on a diet. I can't go closer than that. I'm running. No, we want to be able to enjoy the goodness of that. Whenever you walk into a building and you smell coffee, now, even those that don't like the taste of coffee, most of the time people enjoy the smell of coffee. And you just, that's good. Fresh. Freshly ground coffee. Very, very, very good. Or if you know the Burge is smoking ribs and you walk over there, amazing. Or right before a potluck here, doesn't it always smell so good right before a potluck, especially if there's banya in the other room? Amen. All right, that's awesome. What am I trying to get you? I'm trying to put this into your imagination, that in that sense of a sweet smell, something that is inviting. And sometimes that means something different for people, okay? Because some of you love the smell of cows. Why? Because it's home. That's a sweet smell. In a sense of, it brings back memories. It's good. Sometimes even a difficult smell can be a good smell just because it brings things to mind. Here's the imagination that's going on here of when I walk and imitate God, live like Him, and I follow Him, then God's taking that in, and that develops the fellowship that I have with Him and the closeness that I have with Him as I follow Him. When I walk contrary, the smell is pungent. It's repulsive. How good is the fellowship? Not so great. And we can understand that. So when he's take a step back, he's using this illustration to push our mind into thoughts of, listen, how I act, how I live is important, not just for God, but for those that I'm around. You know, it's interesting on that note of sweet smelling, sometimes people think that what they put on is sweet smelling, but they need a friendly individual, a loving individual to come and help them understand that a full can of Axe body spray is not good for you to take in. And if you don't understand that, let's go back to junior high, because that was a thing, I guess, in my day. Like the girls had their perfumes, but the guys had the Axe body spray, and you could see the dense cloud coming out of the locker room, and you just take a whiff and go, what in the world? But then those junior hires come out, check it out, ladies, I smell good. And then a loving teacher comes up to them and says, that's horrid. It's really bad. Here's some truth for you. Now, why am I stating that? Because sometimes we think that things are going well in our walk with God. And it could be ignorance. It could be just misunderstanding. But it's nice when you have a discipler to step into your walk and to remember that first part, walk in love, as they truly love you with truth. That's important. You might think that that's okay, but here's the truth of Scripture. I want you to be able to see this. Now, make a decision. So how can we be a sweet smell? Imitate God as we walk in love, exemplifying Christ, pushing for looking into the author and finisher of our faith. That's the sweet smell. Sometimes you do need to get a sniff test. Sometimes you need to ask somebody that will love you in the right way and say, what do you think? How's my walk? How am I doing? Do you see God by the way that I live? So as we go from there, there's actually another illustration that Paul uses in this passage. Jumping into verse number 3, we will see that there's two facts of light living, and that's L-I-G-H-T, like as you look up and you see the lights. There's two facts of light living. When our identity changes, so do our identity markers. Imitation reveals who we are following. Are we a sweet smell or a foul smell? But how does the illustration of light coincide with our walk? And the first point that we want to take care of there is do not fade. Or in other words, do not dim. as you are being this light. It goes on in verse number 3. It says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as it becometh saints. So he starts listing off these items, these identity markers. He's saying, listen, don't let fornication be a part of your lifestyle. Don't let this uncleanness or covetousness, it really comes around, there's a lot of sexual sin that's involved in these two items of fornication and uncleanness, but then even greed that is following with that covetousness of desiring, of wanting what you shouldn't desire and want. It says, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, and by that becometh, it means there that it's not proper. It's not proper for a saint of God, a Christ follower, an imitator of God, to be known for these identity markers. It's the opposite. That's the darkness. And it even goes on and says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting. So we just went from some actions to talk and how the filthiness and foolish talking, I mean, the filthiness again is just being perverse in our language, but then the foolish talking is literally goes back to the word points back to a moron. It's really where we get the word moron, in the sense of there is a lack, there's a deficiency of intellect and how they are speaking. There's not much behind the words that are being given. Do you notice nowadays that there's a lot of talk, but there's not a whole lot of meaning behind the talk? And that could just be the profane words that people use. Have you noticed that it's just getting more and more popular as those words start to edge into entertainment? And they're not just edging, they are taking over entertainment, where it seems like some of those words are every other sentence. It's becoming more and more acceptable for entertainment to use profane talk, which really does not add anything to the storyline. It's empty. Listen to a group of teenagers the next time you're around a crowd of teenagers and listen to what they say. Half of it, well, you'll probably have to clean your mind. You just have to flush it afterwards. And I'm not talking about our teenagers at church because they're perfect little angels. But as you're out on the square enjoying the time of your life, and you see a group of teenagers and you walk in their vicinity, just listen. How much of it is just totally worthless speech? Doesn't add anything to the conversation. They're using absolute profanity. And it's not just teenagers, but it's also in the shop. It's in the stores. It's all around you. It's all around us. There's a ton of it. There's a problem around us, but you know what? Some Christians really struggle with this as well. Empty words. And I might be taking this too far in the sense of empty words and lack of intellect here, but sometimes we just throw out words that really just have no meaning in the sense of even in our conversation, we can have a whole entire conversation and it's just to fill the time. There's just no true purpose or profit to it. It's just emptiness. It's vanity. But it even goes on, it says, nor jesting, which are not convenient. It's not fitting for an individual. Jesting is the suggestive innuendos that can happen, which oftentimes happen a lot. And even as you say a word that you didn't think had any meaning behind it, all of a sudden it's changed in the last 30 seconds. And then all of a sudden somebody starts giggling about what you just said. And you're like, I have no idea what you're just talking about. Why are you giggling? Why are you making fun of me for a word that I just said? I thought that I was doing okay there. And yet, this is what's taking over the conversation. He's saying, listen, this is not fitting for a child of God. These are not convenient. This is not good for you, but rather giving of thanks. Why would he place thanks in the midst of all this? Because God gives us every good and perfect gift, right? He gives us grace. He gives us mercy. He gives us life, breath, the ability to feel, sight. He gives us hearing. There's so many things that he gives us, family, church, things all across the board that within his boundaries and within his guidelines, there's so much to be thankful for. But do you notice what each and every one of these words, these sins are pushing for? It's being discontent within God's boundaries, and I'm stepping outside of that, doing things that would be contrary to God. I'm trying to find satisfaction in other things rather than being thankful. I'm trying to get some hype from the crowd and be acceptable from the world. And he's saying, listen, this is not our team colors. We don't want to put on their jersey. We don't want to fight on their squad. We're different. We're different. It says, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of God. So, kingdom of Christ and of God. What is this pushing towards? It's those whose identity is founded in these sins, these that are following after this pattern and habitual sin that when people look at them, this is what they characterize them as. Whoremongers, an unclean person, a greedy individual, an idolater. This is who they are. He's saying, listen, these people are not children of God. They are not going to inherit heaven. They are on a different team. It says, let no man deceive you with vain words, empty words, erroneous words. What is that coming from? And someone coming in and saying, listen, I know God's fun and all, but why don't you come over here and hang out with us? We're going to introduce you to a few new things. Wait, didn't Satan do that? Wait, what? God told you what? You couldn't take of this tree? He's holding you back. If you take of this tree, you'll be like God. You'll get to know all that is good and evil. Let no man deceive you with vain words. It's empty. There's no satisfaction. There's no fulfillment. There's no filling that hole in your heart with that. It says, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Different crowd. We're not there. We're not practicing that. We're not a part of that. God's judgment is coming. So as you walk through the scripture there, it says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't participate. Don't join in with what they're doing, for ye were sometimes darkness. That's what you were. That was your team. Darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. See, where's the light sourced? Well, you see there that we are light in who? The Lord. It's interesting how light reflects off of certain things. Okay? Have you ever been sitting there in your living room and all of a sudden your dog starts moving and chasing this flashy thing on the floor and you're saying, what is that? Oh, it's my watch. The sun's reflecting off the watch and showing up on the floor, and now my cat or my dog is chasing after this reflection. Even today, as I was sitting here listening to Pastor preach a sermon, all of a sudden, there's something that caught my eye over here on the floor. And it just kept moving. I'm like, what is that? Thinking, oh, great, here we go. Something's on the floor, something moving, right? And we're going to get a few screams out of this. And I look down. It must have been somebody's material on their outfit, whatever, to where the light was shining down on that material and then going onto the floor, and it kept moving every time that they were moving. So what's this illustration for? Because we aren't the light. We are only a reflection of the light. Now, when you disconnect from the source, that source of light beaming onto you, when you disconnect from that, do you continue to reveal light to those that are around you? No. You must stay connected to the light. Know God more. Imitate Him. Be that sweet smell connected with that light as we reflect Him. Children of the light. That's the identity marker. It's not the children of darkness. It's the children of light. So when we get offered things that reflect children of darkness, we cannot let that dim fade our light. We've got to step away and say no to the temptations that are there. It goes on in verse 9. See, there's the fruit of those who are in the Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. This is the reflection of the light, God in His character. What's good, what's right, what's true. That's what we do instead. And it says verse number 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Again, we come back to that standard. What is the standard for our living? It is what God has set as acceptable. We're proving it. We're living that out. We're examining, testing what is acceptable unto the Lord. Well, why did you say it like that? Because sometimes certain things get introduced into our life and there might be a question mark. So what do? Do we just participate automatically? Or do we test, prove that this new area, action, is what is acceptable unto the Lord? How are you going to know that? How are you going to know that this is acceptable unto the Lord? You study the Word of God. You meditate. You learn what God has put in front of you so you know this is how I can live. But it's not only the fact that we shouldn't fade, we shouldn't let our everyday actions fade and dim the light reflection as we point others to God and we show others to God and as we align with Him. But also, there's a second point that I wanted to point out, that we must also shed light. And you say, well, what happens there? Verse number 11, it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. This is not a hangout zone. This is not a time where you spend and enjoy, or a place or a people that you spend and enjoy in doing those things that do not reflect God, that only reflect darkness. It actually turns around and says, but reprove them. And how do you reprove them? How do you reprove darkness, unfruitful works? Well, I remember my daddy said that we're not supposed to do this. Do you ever remember hearing things from parents or adults, and then you just took it at face value? You really didn't understand what the conversation was, and you turned around and started telling everybody else about it. Only at 5 years old that you did something like this, right? Okay. And then an adult came in and asked you, "Do you really know what you're talking about?" We can't just take someone else's word for it, because we don't know if they have a misunderstanding themselves. We actually have to go back to the Word of God. Study it out. Understand it. There might even be well-meaning people out there that say, "Oh, this is what's good for you." But yet, we have to go be like the Bereans and go back and study the Word of God to know that this is how we can step back. And when these things of darkness are offered to us, these unfruitful works, we can stand back and say, no, God's Word, God who is the authority in my life, has stated that I cannot take part in this. And listen, I love God. I want to be in step with him. And so it's not a matter of I can't take part in this. I won't. Because I love God more. It's not a matter of living life, "Oh, I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't do this and I can't do that." It's a matter of I won't because I love God more. I want to reflect God more. I want to stay connected to God more. I want to remain in the vine, Christ. I want to be sourced in him, for without him, it is impossible. It's impossible. And so because I love him, I got to step back and say, okay, that's unfruitful. I can't do that. Here's the truth. Here's how we reprove. Again, remember, in love. It says, "For it is a shame even to speak of things which are done of them in secret." I want to be careful about this, okay? It says, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in secret." So there is a matter where we are called to reprove what is wrong. There's also a point to be made that some things should not be brought up and discussed. Why is that? It actually says, "It's a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." If it could morally and spiritually be dangerous to discuss sins of others, then we have to be careful. We need to only expose what is necessary to be rid of the sin. I've mentioned this before. One of the biggest issues across our world today is child trafficking. Now, should I go into detail about what goes on in child trafficking during the service? No. But we should be aware that it is going on so we could protect our children. Be aware that there's sin and depravity in our world. But I don't need to go into detail about what's actually going on, because it actually could lead others into sin. It could be dangerous. You get what I'm saying in that sense? of we need to be careful. And even it could be a shame, because when I keep drawing things out and being, when I keep unraveling the sin and keep talking about it, I could even bring a shame to myself of gossip and sin on my own behalf and not actually helping the other individual. I could actually be hurting the other individual and not loving them in that situation. So when Paul comes in here, things need to be dealt with. Darkness needs to be reproved with truth. But there is an understanding here that you only need to expose what is necessary of the sin to be rid of the sin. I hope that makes sense, because that is important for us as we move forward. It says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Light is what helps us see. It reveals truth about sin, its consequences. We can actually help others as they are walking so that they can see the truth as well, shining light on the darkness that they might be in, shedding that light, helping them in that sense. And even as verse 14 talks about, it says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. There's actually a calling that's being made. He's making a quote here. He's calling out to those that are in darkness as he sheds light on their life and the truth of God's word. And he's saying, wake up. Wake up. You who are sleeping, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Put your faith in Christ. People need to know the truth. And this is what he's calling them to. Wake up. See the truth that's in front of you. Put your faith in Christ. Will you obey the call if you haven't already? So as we round this out, title, Sweet Smells and Bright Lights. As we imitate God and follow him, as we embrace our identity in Christ, are we a sweet smell to God? I'm not just saying overall, but our every moment actions, are they a sweet smell to God? Are we sourced in the light? Are we placing our faith in him and saying, God, you are enough and enough to be able to live this life. I don't have to become dissatisfied and chase after and align myself with what I've been saved from. That's what I was. Now I am changed. Are you shedding light on others? As you encounter God in his word and bringing sin to light, understanding that this is wrong, but I'm going to love you through it. Am I doing that as I'm sourced in the light? Has the light manifested to you who are lost? It's time to wake up out of your sleep and place your faith in Jesus Christ, who is that light. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much. Light is important. We need to see. And I thank you that you have shed your light on this truth, so that we may see how we must live and where we should place our faith, where we should align ourselves, what we should cast off and what we should put on. God, this identity must be lived out. And God, help us as we try to be a sweet smell, that we do the things that correspond to that, that we imitate your character, that we become image, that we live out the fact that we are image bearers reflecting who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.